This is the Coaster Buzz podcast number 213 for March 30th, 2020. Welcome everyone to the Coaster Buzz podcast. I'm going to just ditch the normal opener here to say what it is because it hasn't even been a thing in 7.5 years. So, but this is going to be fun regardless. So, hashtag quarantine, hashtag social distancing. Let's just go around the table, the virtual table. We've got a good crew here today. Coming from Denver, the one and only, our voice of reason here is Carrie John.
Oh my goodness. Hi, everybody. I can't be the voice of reason.
No pressure.
It took me 15 minutes to get on this thing. So, I don't know. We're in bad shape.
Moving on to Chicago, Mike Jandis.
I'll be the voice of unreason.
Excellent. Well, I thought that was usually Gonch's role, but in any case.
I stole it.
You know him as Lord Gonchar. His mom knows him as Pat Walters, and he's just outside of Dayton. Hello.
Sucks.
So here's the funny thing about this whole effort is that I kind of put the feelers out to about doing a show probably at the beginning of the year, just anticipating that Coaster Buzz was going to turn 20 years old. And so there were all kinds of neat things I had in my mind about what I would do around that, because I think the birthday was or anniversary rather was January 30th. So there are a number of different things that of written features that I've already done. There are some still in the pipe. If you haven't read those, I spent a lot of time on those, and I you know, not that I'm looking for validation, but I'm looking for a little validation. and I really enjoyed putting those together. I got a couple more that are still in the pipe that I haven't published yet. But you can reach those by a link on the homepage that has the number 20. So check those out. But I also wanted to get the gang together and do a podcast, at least one just for shits and giggles. And by the way, yes, I'm saying that because as of now, like all the old rules about how we used to handle this, no, I'm not going to go there. And let me explain why, though. Here's the thing is that when we were doing this show and we started it all the way back in 2005, podcasting was like this kind of black art, and it wasn't always easy to get the episodes and everything. Now it's just all magic and automatic and everything. And every damn celebrity on the internet has a podcast now. And so, you know, screw you, Alec Baldwin. We were doing this years ago, but in any case, so it's really popular now, and it's just like, cool, we did it before we were popular, which is a very Gen X thing for me to say.
I love that your target was Alec Baldwin.
I love Alec Baldwin. I can't really say anything negative about him. I mean, you know, the guy, you know, fancies himself as Shakespearean at times, but then he's the guy who does Donald Trump on SNL. So, exactly. You know, he doesn't take himself that seriously. But anyway, so I wanted to get the group back together and just talk about, you know, how things were going. So what I'd like to kind of start with is to kind of go around the table and just say, you know, what's been going on with you guys for the last, you know, 7.5 years. The last show that we did was for September 17th. 2012, and it was just me and Carrie, because I don't know, you guys were doing something super important, I guess, so it was just us. But anyway, we had a good time. So Carrie, what have you been up to in the last 7 years? You're obviously still in Denver.
Oh my goodness, yeah, I don't know why you keep starting with me. I was
ladies first,
looking up all the swear words. Hashtag I can now say so yeah, we've been in Denver since July of 2012, and just doing our thing out here, working at University of Colorado Denver and progressing up the chain and exploring nature. Nature's now closed, by the way. They've closed nature because of coronavirus. So we'll catch up with nature when
it's a little strange.
The pandemic has passed. But yeah, I folks probably realize I've faded away from the website a bit, but I still take a peek here and there. Last park I was at was Dollywood a year ago in December, and I injured myself on lightning rod, which makes me feel really old. So, like, no lie, I actually had to do physical therapy. I got a little too excited. Wow. I did, for real. Like, I had my hands up because I got all excited, but I hadn't ridden it before, and I ended up jacking up my right shoulder, and So, wow. So I gotta stick it looking at the mountains because I might be too old for the coasters
out there in the trenches.
Hey man,
yeah, getting hurt and having things hurt, that's I don't know if that was part of our lives 7 years ago, but it feels like it is now.
It's very much a part of my life now.
Mike, what have you been up to?
Pretty much the same. I mean, my kids are older and now actually enjoy this stuff. Back last time we recorded this, I had one kid that couldn't write anything, and the other one that was so fearful of writing everything, and now I still have a fearful one, but they both love writing stuff. But I'm still in Chicago, still doing healthcare software development. Last park I went to was, well, I did hit up Great America here over the holidays when it was like 20 degrees or something like that, and they're still running some rides. So I have my frozen coaster credit.
Did you get hurt? Because that was part of it for me. It was cold. It was cold, and I'm old.
No, I have gotten hurt on roller coasters now, and I've had to take breaks. But I did not get hurt on that ride. They only had like one run running or something like that. But and nobody was riding them, so it was nice. But I feel like I'm in Gonch's position back. You know, when like I have the back when we did this, Gonch had the kids aged where I have them now. And it's like this past summer we went down and saw my brother down in Kentucky and drove down and hit up Kings Island on the way down. And then I had to drop my wife off in St. Louis. And so we hit up Holiday World on the way to St. Louis and Six Flags St. Louis, or wherever heck it's called now, you know, while we were waiting for her to do her work kind of stuff. So I've actually been doing roller coaster stuff. So
you haven't had to turn in your enthusiast card. You actually get an endorsement on it now.
Yeah, I am an official Six Flags member.
Wow. How's that working out for you?
I get a free cut the line ticket every time I go.
Oh. Yes.
So back to school shopping. I took my kids to the mall. They got their shoes. We stopped by Six Flags, rode a ride, headed home.
Genius.
That's fantastic. Also, it's worth mentioning you're an elected official now.
I am an elected official. I had to run for office.
Against?
Nobody. I mean, it's... So if you had it wrong...
Congratulations, Mike. Yes.
You ran a great campaign.
So
fantastic. So
if you have a rung and you start with the president and go all the way down, I'm probably the lowest, you know, local school board member. But it's elected official. You know, I help make decisions for our young minds. So I don't know how good that is. But
I'm on my HOA board because nobody else ran and I didn't want some asshole on there. So I'm the same way. I'm the guy who does as little as possible.
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing this for like 6 or 7 years. I'm set to come off as soon as I have a seventh grader and a fifth grader. Once my fifth grader graduates, that's when my term ends. So, or graduates eighth grade.
Nice. So. What about you, Gonch? What you been up to?
I'm homeless and I live in a ditch. My kids are now, like Mike said, my kids are in the next phase, and somewhere it was 2013. Well, it was probably 2014, but 2013 was the last time we actually took a trip, because that next year they were kind of like, Dad, we're not doing any more fucking parks. And it just was like, oh, okay. And I got it though, because we really fried ourselves with traveling hard and hitting a lot of parks every year for a long time. Since then I've been to a couple media days because I like to come see everybody. But literally the last park I visited on my own accord was Michigan's Adventure in 2013. And I parked mid Timbers. So, I mean, yeah,
you were my date, at least one of those things, I think.
Yeah. I mean, what is I don't even remember. We did Banshee and Mystic Timbers and Steel Vengeance and whatever, but,
And that was the last time. That was the last time I saw you.
Yeah,
I haven't seen Carrie since. I'm gonna go with Holiday World in 2011, maybe. Does that sound right, Carrie?
Could be
plausible.
I believe you.
And Mike and his family, they were at my house within the last 2 years, because I've got a picture of them in my current house and I've only lived here 2 years. So
nice.
Yeah, I got to see the fireworks from Simon's room. So
That's right. Yeah. So my story, actually, I've lived in since 2012, I think, 4 different places. I've had 6 different jobs. Okay, maybe not that many. Anyway, so what I did is in 2013, I moved to Orlando and decided, well, let me dial it back even further. So 2011, moved from Seattle back to Cleveland because we had 2 places to live. You couldn't sell a house back then. You know the drill. That was like a horrible and terrible mistake. And I was, you know, by the second snow, I knew that. So in 2013, it was snowing in March, and we were like, F this is not okay. And the worst thing is I was working for a remote company anyway, so it didn't even matter. But anyway, so we decided to move down. We moved the first week of July 2013. I did a 1-year contract at SeaWorld Entertainment, which was an interesting time because that was 1 year into their independence as a public company and not part of InBev or Anheuser-Busch, whatever. And then after that, I did some consulting work and blah, blah, blah. Here's the long and short of it is, even when you work on the corporate side of theme parks, it's not a great place to be. I'm not saying that it ruins it for you, because it's not that. It's just the pay is not good and the people are not always like the highest, you know, like level, you know, people that could work in those jobs, because they, you know, there's for every person, there's 7 people in line who want to do it. And, you know, that's just what it is. So, but anyway, but Florida life is awesome. I mean, my last park outing was at Epcot right there at the beginning of the Food and Flowers. What do they call it? The Flower and Garden Festival. We call it Food and Flowers because it's like food and wine. It's just with flowers. I mean, there's some topiaries, but it's a lot of the same stuff. Different food, but still the food is kind of the point. So that was, I want to say, we did that March. I was there March 3rd. No, it was March 5th. It was Simon's birthday. That's right, because he had a field trip during the day. I'm like, okay, I can't go, so I'm going to go to Epcot for lunch.
Nice.
And that was the last time I was in a park. So, but hey, you know, year round, it's pretty sweet. It's a nice lifestyle, I'll tell you that much. So spent a lot of time on doing cruises and things like that. As well, because it's so easy to get to the port from out here. So that's been my story. In that time, Coaster Buzz has been, from a traffic perspective in the last 7 years, it dipped a little bit, but then it kind of leveled off, and it hasn't really changed a lot in the last couple of years. Ad revenue is worse than ever because it's just, you know, you're beholden to Google. That's the biggest problem, right? I mean, Google and Facebook account for like something like 90% of the online advertising market. It's ridiculous. So, and obviously we're not on Facebook because we're not into that old walled garden nonsense. But other than that, I've, you know, tried to keep up with news. Is not as common as it used to be, you know, being the portal to other sites. Nobody does like their own little enthusiast sites anymore. It's kind of lame. That's one of the things I really noticed when I was writing those retrospects, is that there was a day when every kid with a GeoCities account or who had a college account made some website about their local park, and like nobody does that anymore. I miss those days. Get off my lawn.
They're all on Facebook now, or the Twitter. The Twitter. It's so easy. Think of how many dumb little 13 follower I like Cedar Point pages there are. I mean, that's what kids do now. Probably not on Facebook. Kids don't touch Facebook.
I was going to say on Facebook. Come on, Gonch.
I'm old.
Thank you. It's my goal to have everybody admit they're old.
All right.
Oh, I'm there. I'm there with you. We're all in our 40s, right?
Oh, yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. Correct.
God, that's depressing. I mean, it's not depressing. It's not that. Well, here's the thing is, and I forget who I was talking to about this, but here's my position on that. You know, I remember, like, I thought I knew everything in my 20s and I could do anything and whatever. And, you know, that was just kind of, it's naive and stupid. And it's just the way that you view the world when you're 20. But now that I'm older, I'm like, you know, there's a lot of things that I don't know, but there's an awful lot of things that I do know, you know, and I'm not, you know, I don't know. That's kind of a cool place to be. It really is. I can't be negative about my age that much, really. Plus, Diana's older than me. She's 50, so she's got me by a couple of years. I'm not the oldest one in the house.
My goodness.
I don't know if that matters, but whatever.
I feel like I know less. I somehow lost knowledge along the way.
I'm trying to know less the older I get.
The less you know, the less responsibility you have, right?
I mean, ignorance is bliss.
Oh, I was going to say that. You stole my line.
Ha ha.
Oh, I just took a beat to let you say something and you stole my line. Oh, all right. See, so, that was my own ignorance.
Was it blissful?
Yes.
Awesome.
It felt great.
So do you guys, I mean, so it's kind of weird because I think, I don't know if this is just the kids' age thing, but I mean, Mike, it sounds like, you know, the parks are kind of, they're kind of your jam because you know, your kids are into that too. My kid is into it, but I can't, there's certain things I can't get him to ride. Like, I can't make him understand, like, we are not going to make a trip to Cedar Point until I know you're going to ride every freaking thing at that park. You know, you're either going to ride in the front seat of Millennium Force with me or we're not going, you know. Because I'm not going to go all that way and spend all that money on a hotel and everything just so I can sit there and watch him do Junior Gemini. I mean, that's not going to happen, you know? So
I have a very similar situation with my oldest. You know, she's in seventh grade, and she will not ride Raging Bull or Goliath because of the way the down parts are. Her favorite ride at Kings Island was Banshee.
Which is far more aggressive in every single way.
Right. Yeah. So logic kind of goes out the window here. And so she's gotten up to the point where she'll ride everything at Great America other than those two, which is a huge step forward. And she'll even, if I'm taking my other daughter on Goliath, she'll go over and just ride X-Flight until we're done. So, you know, she's come a very long way from I'm not riding anything. But, I have that issue. But part of the other thing is, you know, we have a car that seats seven, and a bunch of their friends have season passes. So all summer long, I just tell them, fill up the car. You know, we need three seats for us. You fill up the rest, and we're out there. So we're up to the park probably at least once a week. And it's usually only like, you know, you go up there at like 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, you know, a couple hours before it closes kind of thing. So.
Yeah, I think if you have proximity, that makes a difference. You know, as a local to Disney World, for reference, by the way, my house is 11,000 feet away, like drawing on Google Maps from Cinderella Castle. So, yeah, I mean, that's literally how close we are. And by the way, the most striking thing is that we don't have fireworks every night right now. That's how you know it's not normal. But, you know, for us, even because of that, you know, it's a 3 hour, you spend 3 hours there tops. You're not going to do more than that. And it's the same thing, whether it's Universal or SeaWorld, which we've had passes for on and off. So, yeah, I get it. It's just it's a little short time waster.
Yep. Yeah. My favorite thing that's happened to Six Flags, at least by us, is I remember back in the day we talk about if you want to have a drink, you have to drink in this little confined space. You can't go between this side or whatever.
Yeah.
There is bars all over that park. There is a sports bar in that park. There is liquor everywhere. It is amazing.
Sounds like Universal Orlando.
Yes. Yep. Because, yeah, last time I saw you, we stopped by Universal Orlando and... Same thing.
And they've been that way for a long time. Well, you know, and it's so weird too, because I mean, Disney, well, Epcot, I should say specifically, is kind of like that, but it doesn't seem apparent, even though, you know, you're literally walking past these little food stands every couple of feet that have drinks. But it's not the same. It's hard to describe the difference there. Well, I mean, because Universal, there are, you know, these scantily clad women walking around with shooters and syringes, and that and that's, they don't do that at Disney World.
Darn.
Mickey gave me a Jello shot.
So it's not the happiest place on earth.
Yes.
Why? Oh, I disagree with that. I did another drink around the world last fall. With a buddy of mine came down, and we decided to go ahead and do it. And it was just one of those things where Well, okay, so this sounds a little absurd too, but bear with me. I can explain this. So we were staying on property at Coronado Springs, and you're like, well, Jeff, if you're 11,000 feet away from Cinderella Castle, then that hotel's probably 2 miles from your house. That's correct. the problem is that when you have a child who can only miss so much school and miss the entire first week of school because he was sick, you have to get creative. So the creativity was, let's pick the hotel closest to his school, which is that one, and let's stay in it for a couple of days, and we'll drop him off to school, and we'll go do our stuff. So that's what we did. So anyway, one of those days, it was actually, I remember it was the last day for Illuminations, the last day of that show. So we did that. And as I suspected, again, this being my second time doing it, 11 countries, 11 drinks, you know, you space them out throughout the day and you're going to be okay. But it also depends on where you go and who's pouring and all those things. Those are definitely variables. You know, there was the guy in Morocco, there's some slushy red thing that he made, and it was more liquid alcohol than it was slush. So it just depends on where you go. But anyway, yeah. But yeah, I think that makes it it's funny to kind of talk about that contrast from because remember, it was there were liquor license stories like every other week when we were doing the show back in those days.
Yeah, yes, there was the joke with drunken. Yeah, the drunken people running everywhere joke that ran for a while. Like people were out of control. They can't drink in amusement parks.
Right. But yeah, it ruins everything.
Yeah.
Well, and there are still people crying about
environment.
Yeah. Well, there's still people crying about the fact that you can get wine at what do you call it? Be Our Guest at Magic Kingdom.
Oh, well.
I can assure you there are no drunks at Magic Kingdom. I mean, nobody spends $100-something a day to go to those parks so that they can get wasted. Well, okay, maybe that's not entirely true. Pass holders at Epcot who are local may do that. But yeah, not at Magic Kingdom. So I guess, you know, 7 years later, problem solved. Let the drinks flow.
I mean, there was countless times this year where I'd have a carload of kids, and they go off and ride a ride and wait in an hour-long line, and I'd go have a beer, and then we'd meet each other at the end. And it was awesome.
That does sound wonderful.
like for Halloween, they had these, like, Jack and Coke slushies.
Mike's excitement is too much.
It's like, so I remember back in the day when we were recording this, one of my favorite things to do was go to the Brookfield Zoo, local zoo out here, because they didn't have those restrictions. You could get a beer and go all over the zoo. And I love places that treat you like an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really what it is. But here's the thing is too, I think it depends on the kind of people who show up at those places too. See, that's my concern at Six Flags, is that they've made it so inexpensive to get in now. That I feel like, you know, at least if something's expensive, it seems like that would be a deterrent to being a moron. But, you know, the way that they give away the gate at Six Flags, I'm worried that's not the case. What's your observation? Because we've talked about the culture differences between the different chains for years, and I think it's even more different than it used to be.
So, I mean, for the most part, this past summer has been, you know, families. And you get a run of the board, but nothing really crazy. Now I say that, and then I go back to 2 years ago where you had, you know, we were there for one of the coasters after dark, and they had to shut down the park because riots broke out, and they had cops lining everything and shuffling everybody out.
That's not normal.
Other than that one incident.
Besides that, I mean, yeah. Whatever. I mean,
yeah, but that was also a thing at midnight. You know, you go there, you know, during the day, during normal operating hours kind of thing, and it's like what you would normally expect at a normal amusement park. You know, people run around. It seems like it's a lot more cordial nowadays than I would expect it to be.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. It's funny though, because I do think, you know, there's a, I mean, so now before I bring this up, tell me about the place that you get a beer. Like, is it like a bar? Is it someplace that you can, you know, like you can feel like, is it something that has atmosphere, or are you just talking about a stand where they, you know, serve you some watered down shit that you know paid $15 for? I mean, what are we talking about here?
So the answer to that is yes. So There's a sports bar with some microbrews and some local breweries there. There is another just bar that is attached to one of the chicken restaurants or whatever. They have little stands throughout the place. It's all over the place. You know, like there is a dedicated restaurant that has been turned into a sports bar with a ton of TVs. Like I've never understood the fact of, you know, paying $50 to go to Six Flags and then sitting your parking yourself at a sports bar kind of thing. But on the flip side,
got to know what the scores are.
Well, we were there during one of the World Series games and run around during Fright Fest or whatever, and being able to, you know, as you're waiting for people to come off rides, being able to have that experience as well is pretty neat. So it's all over the place now.
Interesting. There are a couple of places down here that we've kind of gravitated to. We haven't found anything at Universal that we really like. And Universal is a weird place right now. Islands of Adventure, you know, there's half of it's under construction because of the new coaster that they're building in the Jurassic Park area. So there's that. And then it just, I don't know, it's that park has become a little bit disjointed. And then the studio side is weird because it just ever since, like there's the Harry, this is true for both parks. There's the Harry Potter areas, which are amazing and have this great food and great drink and everything. And then there's the rest of the park where it's all shitty, like worst quality food service, you know, food ever. And it just, I don't know, it's not great. But then on the other hand, and by the way, you're still paying crazy premium, like, you know, Orlando theme park prices. But then you go over to like Disney, and there's two places in particular that I consistently will drop a bunch of cash in, even though I know it's too expensive, but all for the atmosphere, right? So like at Hollywood Studios, you have this place called the Baseline Tap House. It's right across from like where Star Tours is, and just before you get into the area that goes into Galaxy's Edge. And they have a couple of local brews. They have one of the Ace Ciders, and they have these amazing, huge pretzels that are absolutely delicious. And like, we'll go there and we'll get a couple of drinks and a pretzel and, you know, some exotic lemonade or whatever that's not alcoholic for my kid. And we might spend like $40 there. And like, I mean, we don't do that often. I mean, I'm not saying that we're, you know, we're not that 1% or anything, but it's a good experience. And I don't mind separating, you know, my money like that way. Animal Kingdom is another place that's similar to that. The Nomad's Lounge, which is on the way back to Avatar area. And it's just this little place on the right, and it has outdoor seating, and it's wonderful, great service and everything, some really good hors d'oeuvres. So like places like that, like I'm into that. Like I feel like there's good service, I'm taken care of. You know, I'm not going there to get drunk. It's just a nice experience. And so that's the difference, I think, from like what I've been seeing at those Disney parks versus what I see in some of the most of the Universal locations. It does look like Cedar Fair has tried to create some of those places in some of their parks. I haven't been to any in a while. But like, if you look at the places I know that they've opened at Cedar Point in the last year or two, like the place next to the where the Witch's Wheel used to be, looks like it's pretty high quality. And of course, they opened that place on the Frontier Trail before that. So it looks like they're trying to create those kind of experiences at least. I dig that. I'm into that. But if it's just the watered down sports bar thing, I mean, like that's cheesy. It's like going to Chick-fil-A inside of a park, right? Like you can get that shit anywhere.
Yeah, but I mean, this is more of your, like, it's more of an actual sports bar. It's way better than you expect from the amusement park. Now Six Flags, at least Great America doesn't have those experiences, nor would I really seek them out, you know, because I'm not there long enough to really do that stuff.
Because you hate fun things.
Yes. I like alcohol, hate fun things. No, but I mean, but the stuff that Great America has, it seems like it's a very welcome experience for an adult, especially if their kids are running off. I remember when I was a kid going to these places, my parents would park themselves at a gazebo, and that's all they had. And now they have there's a bunch of other things for parents to do, especially like there's an indoor air conditioned member lounge now with free soft drinks and all sorts of stuff. So there's some nice things for parents and adults to do as their kids are running around the park.
Okay, that's fair. Gansha, you're with your kids. Your daughter is drinking age now.
Oh God, my kids are adults. Talia is 22, and she's 22. Absolutely drinking age. And
holy crap!
Like I said, when they hit those teenage years, they quit wanting to do the burnout trips with us, but we did instill it in them. She sends me pictures every year. They go hit the Halloween event at Universal in Hollywood there. So, I mean, she's been over to Knott's once or twice because she's at USC, and I didn't have to bribe anyone to get her in there. She got in there on her own merit. And she's of drinking age, and she goes to the parks, and I imagine she enjoys the drinks as much as Mike.
Interesting.
Yeah. And Ethan's 18, and he still, once in a while, he'll be like, I'm running down to King's Island with my friends. And it's like, all right, well, don't kill yourself. See you later. You know, what can you do? They're adults. My kids are 18 and 22. I don't have kids. I have adults.
You're an empty nester.
Almost.
I mean, as soon as you can move them out, at least.
Well, yeah. As soon as we're allowed to go to colleges again. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good point. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
This fall, I should be an empty nester.
Yeah, it's worth noting that you actually didn't live at home for 8 months. We were talking about that before. I mean, if you don't want to talk about this, this is cool. But no, it's fine. I think anyone who follows you on the Facebook knows that you your house got hit by a tornado, which was it's not lucky, but the odds of that are so low. Yeah. I mean, if you really think about it, that's crazy. But you're just now getting in back into your house, and now they're all home, right?
Well, no, Talia is still in LA because she got quarantined out there, and she doesn't live on campus. She has an apartment, so she's just holed up in her apartment.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought she came home.
Yeah, no. She's still in California, you know, checking in every week, going, I'm bored to death. I want to leave my house. She's actually one of the Gen Z kids who's listening and staying inside, so that's cool.
Good for her.
But
she's always been an overachiever, though.
Yeah, that's why we all, love her. But tornado. Last year, short story. I'll tell the story. What the hell? Going back, Talia is the catalyst for all this. She did a semester in Paris. And so to get her stuff from Paris back home and turn it into a vacation, we said, let's all go to Paris for 10 days and get her out of school over there and see Paris for the first time in my life. And literally on day three, I believe it was, we were there the third day at about, the kids had a separate room from us, and it was 6 a.m. because I'll remember this. It was way too early for someone to be knocking on our door. And Paris was 6 hours ahead of Ohio. And it was our son saying that his friend just called him and that a tornado came through and he wasn't sure if our house got hit or not. So it's 6 a.m. We're in Paris and we're like, well, what do you do? So we're turning on news and pulling up websites. And it's like, damn, a tornado literally ripped through our neighborhood. I wonder if the house is okay. So we had to sit there and wait till the sun came up before someone could come over and really tell us what damage there was. So we're waiting, and finally cell phone pictures start coming over, and you see like half our wall hanging down from where our bedroom used to be and just big trees down. You could not see our driveway. The Jeep in the driveway was just covered with trees. You couldn't even tell there's a vehicle there. So it's like, well, what do we do? We're on day three of a 10-day vacation. Do you cut this short? I mean, I have no idea how much experience do people have dealing with tornadoes. So we got hold of our insurance company and they were like super cool. And that was kind of their logic, was what can you do? Even if you bought a plane ticket and came back, nothing's going to change. Let us handle it for a week, finish your vacation and come home. So that was cool. It's amazing how much you can just put that in the back of your head and still go do Paris and London, because somehow we did and had a great time. But coming back, the house got nailed pretty good, not necessarily with actual direct tornado winds. We have real big old trees all around the house, and a couple of those fell into the house. And the story I like to tell is, I'm that Midwestern redneck dumbass who, if I would have been here and there was a tornado warning, I'd have been out in the front yard looking for it. I wouldn't hoe up. I just wouldn't. I'm that guy. And the fact that it came through at midnight, we it's one of those things. I'm not of, oh my God, can you imagine sort of guy. But literally two huge trees landed on our bed. Like when we got back, there were two gigantic trees literally laying on our bed. And I go, midnight, my wife, Jamie's going to be in bed. I'm going to be outside going, woo, tornado. And it's like, man, if that would have went down when we were here, who knows what would have happened. But we weren't. So, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, what, you know, whatever. But the house was pretty much totaled. I mean, I've posted a million pictures. And if you want to be a weird stalker, most of my Facebook page is wide open to the public. Go find them. And insurance took good care of us. I mean, things needed fixed. It just literally finished up. This was back in June. Well, it was the end of May. We got home the first week of June, moved into a hotel room and lived there until the end of January while they rebuilt everything in our house. We basically got a brand new 25-year-old house. So,
was that one of your wife's properties that you were staying in?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's good. At least you knew that it was clean.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Small favors. Yeah, that is a crazy story. I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
I know, and I feel like I'm cutting that off at the end. The build up is the story. I mean, once your house is damaged, I could tell you by July they had a roof on, and come October the flooring was in. But I mean, there's no story there. You just wait for things to rebuild, then you get back in. And like I was telling you earlier, it's weird because everybody goes, "How the hell do you stay in a hotel room for 8 months?" And the way I was explaining it to you is, it felt no different than when you go on any vacation. Like you leave for a week and you go do your thing and you come home and there's that feeling of I was gone and now I'm back. To me, it never mattered if that was 3 days or 10 days or whatever. It felt just like that. It was 8 months, but it was just like, oh, we were gone and now we're home. And, you know, immediately everything was familiar and it was just like, oh, we were in a hotel room for a while. So that part was even weirder that it didn't feel weird, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's true though that, actually fixing a house is slower than building one from scratch, right?
It felt that way. I'm not an expert, but yeah, I suspect it is. You're not just slapping a house up. You have to go back and tear. You have to, what the hell's the word for ripping shit apart? You know, you have to do demo to build demo it back up. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, it wasn't as simple. And I think a lot of people, HGTV. A lot of people were giving me crap for that. Like, well, you could have built a house quicker. Yeah, I could have. But guess what? I can't. I have to fix the house I have. So, you know, whatever.
Who was giving you crap about that?
I think you get like jokes, people being funny. You could have built a house quicker than that.
I want
Everybody's an expert. Especially on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, you probably could have. But I'm not building a house. I'm fixing a house that was mostly damaged.
Well, plus they'd have to make sure that there isn't structural damage you can't see. So it would take a while to even find out. I'm guessing. I don't know. What do I know? But that they would have to make sure the house was stable to be fixed, which might take some time, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, the whole thing was actually a process. And I still feel like in hindsight, the adjuster they assigned us probably went the wrong way and let us fix it and not trash it, because I think at first they didn't realize how extensive the damage was really going to be as the construction guys got in and started pulling it all back and seeing what was damaged, because they I can't imagine how our insurance company's ever getting their money back in premiums. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, they probably won't. Yeah. But that's insurance, right? I mean, that's,
you know. Well, yeah, that's the point of insurance. But at some point you have to, it's almost like when you wreck your car, do you repair it? Or is we just call it totaled because the repair is going to be more than it's worth.
Right.
And I think we got dangerously close to that line with this house.
Yeah, I just had to look here. My house was new construction and it took 80. The schedule was 86 days.
Wow.
That's 86 days of people doing stuff, right? I mean, yeah. There were certain days that they weren't. Sometimes weekends. It depended on the contractor, and that's like aggregate actual work time, right? That doesn't, like, I mean, so like if one day you got flooring people in there for 4 hours, and then another day you've got 4 hours of somebody painting, like that collectively is a day. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and I think that was some of our thing, too. I know it went slower than it could have, and not just because they were slower, they sucked. If anything, just the opposite. But a tornado just came through. Every construction company in town was working 20 different jobs at once and trying to make it all make sense.
Yeah, it's funny when you get all of a sudden that spike in demand. You can't, I mean, if the people don't exist to do the work, it doesn't get done.
Yeah, Yeah, well, and it takes a lot too. I mean, my backyard is still a mess. I mean, we got to get all the trees that fell and stuff cleaned up. Insurance doesn't cover that sort of thing. But even here, like Ethan works at a pizza shop just up the road. They just opened a few weeks ago. And if you drive around, you still see buildings and businesses and houses with like tarps on them. So like when you say it's just like a hurricane, you know, it's on the news for a day, but it's those people that have to deal with it for the next 6 months to clean up. I mean, same thing. Tornado ripped through Dayton, Ohio. That was news for a day. A year later, there's still people trying to make things right.
Oh, we've still got it. I still see tarps every once in a while here in Central Florida.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Irma was what, two and a half years ago?
Exactly.
Yeah, depends on the roof and the builder. That's another thing that I've learned more about than I ever thought I would need to, because as an HOA board member, you know, the townhomes that we have in our neighborhood are the responsibility in terms of exterior of the HOA, right? Like we have to replace their roofs and paint the things every, you know, so many years and whatever. And
yeah.
Interesting fact, in Florida they don't really expect your asphalt roof to last more than 15 years. Doesn't that seem crazy?
Wow.
Yeah, didn't know that. Had I known that, maybe I would have gotten a tile roof.
Yeah.
Oh, well, whatever. I don't know if I'll have my house by then anyway. Well, actually, yeah. I'm trying to do the math. When can I downsize and move to the coast? So that's going to depend on when I'm an empty nester. So I've got at least 10 years or 8 to 10 years to go. Let's count it 10.
So see, that was the kicker too. We knew this was coming up and we had talked about moving. So it was like, all right, now we have this to deal with. And as soon as they fix the house, then we're going to, you know, get the second one off to college and start thinking about selling the house that they just fixed, because that was in the plans already. But now coronavirus, and who knows what's going to happen. So,
well, that's a great segue. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
Because it's almost nobody ever talks about it. So
you think it's not even a problem the way you hear nothing about COVID-19.
Yeah, right? What are you guys talking about? What is that?
Apparently, there's a pandemic, Carrie.
What?
Oh, yeah.
That's weird.
Should you not?
So how are things going there? I mean, you've unfortunately probably seen the headlines in Florida. And just to be clear, right, that's the coast. I don't live on the coast. Florida is actually like three or four different states. I can't emphasize that enough. There's South Florida, there's Central Florida, and then there's the northern part with the panhandle. And that might as well be Alabama or something. I don't know. It's not like the rest of Florida. Let's just put it that way. You can count the Confederate flags and whatnot. So it's a different place, certainly. With these folks that, you know, just, you know, weren't paying attention, and even here on a county by county basis, because our governor doesn't have the nuts to do anything, because that's just the way we elect them down here. So the individual counties have been basically up to, you know, how do we decide, you know, what's closed and how long we do this, and, you know, what is our individual response? And so Orange County was a little not terribly slow to react, but they got into the point where, yeah, we need to close stuff and not mess around with this. And we hit the school district was already on spring break in the first week anyway. So, you know, with that hitting time wise, you know, the kids haven't really been out that long because they were going to be out for a week anyway. It's fairly serious. I mean, the bigger concern obviously in the Orlando area is that this is an area that attracts 75 million people a year, and the impact on the state and local tax base is gigantic in that respect. And then on top of that, you've got, you know, upwards of 100,000 people who work in the service industry, including the theme parks, to support all of that. And it's more than 100,000. I don't actually know. It's might be closer to 250,000 for all I know. I mean, Disney by itself employs 70,000 people in this area. So, you know, you can do that math, but, so there's a certain concern about the financial impact there. And, you know, if there's anything that has been, that you could see consistently over the last 7 years since we last did this in the headlines, it's about, you know, working wages in, the theme parks and everything. So, now Disney has said that they're now, I guess the latest news is they're going to continue paying their people through mid-April. I don't know if Universal is doing the same. I think they are. SeaWorld just said that they're basically furloughing 90% of the company across the board, including corporate is what it sounds like. So that's not a good spot for them to be in, because they were already in a somewhat precarious place. Although the things were improving, but that whole thing is a shit show anyway. It's and this has nothing to do with the time that I worked there, but since then it's just been a revolving door of executives and kind of a mess. And I guess a particular activist board member who kind of tries to micromanage the executive team. So that, you know, that's not anybody. Nobody wants to work in that situation. They had that guy come over from Carnival Cruise Line who went back, and I don't think he's in a. Talk about a lateral bad move. You left Cruise Line to go run SeaWorld. A couple of weeks later, went back to Carnival, and then Carnival, of course, is the center of all of the all the various Carnival brands have been at the center of the infections and whatnot. They're giving the whole industry, the whole cruise industry, a bad name in that respect. So that's kind of the weird thing that's going on here. I don't know if that. I would imagine that sentiment and that concern about the composition of the workforce is not as extreme in other places. You guys would have to tell me because you guys live other places.
Well, the thing I would think about with Florida, though, is that there's a decent amount of, elderly or advanced age folks living and snowbirding there and being higher risk, too. So that's not good.
Yeah, my mom lives in the Villages, which is one of the places that actually got called out on a couple of different news programs, I think, by name. Because for those of you who have never heard of it, the Villages is a place that's a little north of Orlando, a little south of Ocala, that is essentially a planned retirement community of epic scale. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people. And basically what it is it's kind of divided into subdivisions, but like miniature towns. I don't remember what they call them. Villages. Well, they call them villages, right? That's the name.
It's right there in the name.
Very cryptic.
So they have these little villages, and each one of the villages has a town square. And the town square has, restaurants and bars and everything. And basically, it's a bunch of old people getting drunk and hanging out literally every day. I mean, it's fantastic.
It's like Six Flags.
Yeah, instead of rides, you have go-karts. So,
golf carts. Yeah.
Golf carts, I'm sorry. Yeah, see, maybe it would be more interesting if they were go-karts. And there's the joke it could be a myth. I don't know if there's any science behind it, but they always say that there's, STDs run rampant in the villages and things like that. So I say that only to bring out the point that, hey, there's, spreading diseases is not something that is difficult in a place like that. And while they do have their own hospitals and everything down there, I mean, the potential for them to be overwhelmed is pretty enormous. So I told my mom, I'm like, stay the fuck home. You cannot leave. I don't care how lonely you are, because if it gets bad, I can tell you right now, they are not going to let me from the middle of Orlando come into your community to get you. They are not going to allow that because they, I would be a possible infection vector. So that's just the reality of that situation. But, I think that is definitely a concern. It's definitely more regional, and it depends. So, like Orange County proper, I don't know what our percentage of retired folks are. Like, I can't use my neighborhood as an example, even though there's, half of our HOA board. But, they're retired. They don't have anything else to do, so... but yeah, I'm worried about that, but I think there's just the overall economic impact is going to be pretty scary. And by the way, let me be very clear. I am not one of these assholes who's going to stand here and say that screw the health of these people. Let's just, open it all up by Easter. Yeah. That's not how that's going to work. Well,
who would say something like that? That's weird.
I don't know. Leader of the free world, I guess.
That's really weird.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, to me, Florida really resembles Italy. I mean, Italy, part of the problem there was they were top five in age or average age per country, and they're also top five in tourism. If you shrink that down to the United States, Florida should be that same demographic on a smaller level here.
Right, right. I think, honestly... Say what you will about Disney, and I know Disney gets a lot of hate for being the big, giant, evil corporation, but I don't know why. They make good stuff as far as I'm concerned. I certainly spend a lot of money with them on an annual basis, but my thing is that I think Disney made the right choice by taking the leadership here to say, hey, we're closing down, because nobody was going to do it for them. You know, it just wasn't going to happen. State and even local officials, well, local officials may have done it, but they would have been pretty apprehensive about it. But I think they did the right thing as a good corporate citizen and shut down when they did. But they, again, they were, because what Disney does is what Universal and SeaWorld will eventually follow to do. Now, SeaWorld waited longer even, but with all the people leaving town, I don't know who the hell they thought they were going to get to hang out. You know, SeaWorld's the plus one. It's not the destination for most people.
Yeah, I mean, from our standpoint, or at least somebody who's not in the Florida area, as this was going on, you started seeing, hey, $20 flights down to these places. These places are deserted. It's very easy to take your kid down to Disney World or Disneyland. You know, and that was right before, you know, they closed, kind of thing. But if they would, like, to your point, you know, if they wouldn't have closed, you know, your elected leaders, especially the ones who are worrying about that tourism dollar, you know, they're not going to close down just because they say, hey, if flights are darn cheap, we can get everybody else down here.
Well, and the other thing, too, is I think if you look at it even from Disney's standpoint, they don't want to be known as, hey, we're the epicenter of disease. Like, you don't want that on your resume. You know?
Coming in 2020.
Think of all the marketing. Yeah, whatever.
I mean, there was one big deal about a guy who was here and died in California, who had been in Disney World about the same time that I was, you know, that day that I was there, he was here. So I don't know which park he was in, obviously, and we don't know if he exposed people or whatever. We don't, again, because we if there's one thing about the U.S. response that has sucked is we have no contact tracing at all. Our testing is horrible and still not up to where it needs to be. So, I mean, all those things are things to consider. I think the bigger question is how did the parks, and not just the big themers, but the regional ones as well, how do you approach this and when is it okay to open? And I don't think we know, and I don't think we haven't had the expertise of epidemiologists tell us that. Maybe because they don't know either, but it is mind-boggling how people that we trust to inform us have not figured out and modeled all of this out to figure out what does the reboot look like.
Well, the problem. So my pastime in this quarantine is kind of modeling this with a buddy of mine who has way more nerd expertise than I do. But the problem with all of this is that even though the data is kind of open source and you can get it from a bunch of different places, there's no good data to really tell you where it's going. So when you see that, you know, for context here, you know, in the past few days, the United States just recently went past China and is now the leader in confirmed cases.
We are number one.
Yes, exactly. We're going for the gold here now. The Olympics are canceled. But like, what does that actually mean? I mean, especially if we're having trouble testing people, if you look at China and, you know, it took time to come up with tests and everything to do this, there's way more numbers out there. So that number's not a really reliable number.
Yeah, because you have to balance it against per capita population, right? How many people per million get sick? And you have to know that. And even then, it depends a lot on, then you have to figure out density, population density, right? Like, it means a lot more when it happens in...
It makes no difference since we couldn't test.
Right.
None of it matters because you couldn't test. I mean, there were people who legitimately had the symptoms being told, if you're not high risk and you haven't directly been exposed, just go home and take care of yourself. And so, and with a 14-day spread... Then and before you even have symptoms, I mean, there's just no way to know who has it and where it's gone.
Well, I mean, I can even, so my brother-in-law is a police officer. He was sick. Anybody who was sick, they had him go get a test out here. Illinois is still kind of behind. New York seems to be the one that's leading here in testing. Illinois is still a little bit behind. He got a test last week. Like a week ago Wednesday, so he's in like day 10 still waiting for his results kind of thing. He's not showing any signs, anything like that, but still, it's even once you get a test, there's so much backlog there that when your results come back are not there. But like when I was talking to my buddy about the modeling stuff, like the only accurate number you really have is, you know, deaths. But even then, goes right back to what you were saying, Jeff, about population and everything like that, and trying to do a model on death rate combined with your population density and stuff.
Yeah, and honestly, like if I'm Disney World, I'm starting to ask myself, is there a way that I can screen people to say, yes, you've had it and are in the clear, or you don't have it and you are not infected, like, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like
the metal detectors.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, it's absurd to think about it that way. But like if you can do a test and screen people and say with certainty within 15 seconds of whether or not they have it, like, is that the level of scrutiny that you need to safely allow people into an environment where there are 40,000 sweaty tourists hanging out together?
So there's two things that come up to me on that. Is that one is, I wouldn't be surprised if there are now thermometer detectors at all these places. You saw that popping up in all these different airports of screening people as they're coming back in. And so that might be your next norm of, in addition to the metal detectors, you have that. But if everybody's practicing social distancing right now, you know, how is that going to affect the parks? Because it's not like we're just going to all of a sudden go back to queuing up and being, you know, right on top of each other.
Licking the handrails as your child walks by, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, if our new norm right now, at least for the next month or so, is being 6 feet apart, we're not going to just the next day go to 6 inches apart.
No, I mean, that's my point. The theme parks are literally not practical at that point.
I can't wait till I can get in with my Uzi because I don't have a temperature.
My that's God, Gary is gold.
That's going to be a good day.
I can't wait to shoot up a park because I'm healthy.
I have no temperature. Pay no attention to the bulge under my trench coat.
Oh, man. You just made some blacklist at Disney headquarters that you're never going to be able to go into a park again. You're
officially on lists now.
Oh, dear. Can I tell you guys this? We thought it was funny. Maybe you won't. I don't know. But they tried to close the alcohol store, the liquor stores and the dispensaries, and the lines.
That's a horrible idea.
The lines that formed immediately down the blocks, like around blocks. It was ridiculous. So they opened them right back up again. So we joke about prohibition was 1 hour.
Nice.
We still don't have legal weed in Florida, and I can't think of a better time to make it legal. I don't even smoke the stuff. I never have, not even once, but it just seems like a good idea. Let's stop dicking around with that. Come on, Florida.
But the children.
I'm not going to give it to my children. No, I'm not arguing with you. You know this already. Whatever.
I almost choked you.
We got our legalization this year, and lines have been, from what I've been told, around the block. And we're, like, where I live, we're one of the, you know, where I think we're the most north dispensary, and so we get all the Wisconsin people coming down to us.
So. Well done.
You betcha. I'd like a joint, please.
Wow, so polite. Well, let me know when Six Flags starts selling weed, and then I'll show up. I'll bring everybody's kid. Yeah, go ride rides. I'll be over here.
It'll be 5 to 10 years until that's accepted.
Oh, yeah, we know. We have observable.
Exactly. Exactly.
True.
All right. Well, in another 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah. In Florida, I'm surprised because, you know, for the medicinal reasons, I mean, again, old people, you're right. You'd think we'd be up on that. But I don't know. We're a weird state like that. Like I said, look at our governor. What an asshat.
So kind of on the quarantine subject, I was kind of curious on how, like, each of us live in a different geographic location. How is that implemented? Like, here, there's a statewide shelter in home, and it's been that way for about a week. You know, we're doing this on the 28th, so the 21st is when that went in effect. And that was Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, in Florida, it's been by county. Because the governor said the other day, he basically said, he's like, I can't tell people, it wouldn't be right for me to tell people that they can't go make a paycheck. Like, all right, that's super oversimplifying things, but whatever. The counties
that's
are all like,
not
yeah,
how that
I don't
works.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because the disease really discriminates in that respect. Oh, you're going to work, you'll be fine. Yeah.
Governor, is he governor? What the hell is DeWine? My God, I just
DeWine is the governor.
I just had a stroke.
Really great civil engagement you got.
I know. I just flaked on you. Sorry. I mean, he jumped on things.
Do you have a temperature?
I might. Mm-hmm. I don't have a thermometer. I lost mine in the tornado and haven't had a chance to pick one up. And now there are none anywhere. They did the stay at home. I don't know if it's an order or whatever, because you know me, I don't really care. But, I don't know how enforceable it really is or whether they're even trying to enforce it, but I have noticed since things have been in place, gradually people, I mean, it's just, it's creepy out sometimes with just the lack of people. So at least in my neck of the Ohio, maybe not even reluctantly, but slowly as it became more and more real, people are complying, for lack of a better term. And you don't really see a lot of people out. And when I have gone to the store and picked up, you know, hey, I want some bread, I want some beer, because I like bread and beer. And people are staying apart, and you'll see people wearing gloves and masks and stuff. So, I mean, people are trying, you know, they're taking it seriously, at least around me. I'm the one who's walking through and licking the shopping carts.
That's so gross. That's why it looks so empty around you, Gonch. I don't want to be the one to tell you. They're all congregating elsewhere. They just don't want to be around you.
Got it.
They know your car.
Yeah.
That's why my face is on all those posters.
There you go. It's not because you're missing. It's because they don't want you to. They don't want to find you.
I thought I was lost.
Colorado's been in shelter in place since Thursday, I think. And that you're allowed to go to get groceries. You're allowed to go as critical employees for work. They're not pulling people over or anything like that. It's just they're looking for people still playing basketball and baseball and hanging out and picnicking and things like that.
Yeah, I think slowly there's kind of been a coming around of the fact or the understanding that there's kind of a civic obligation that you have that you have to play a part in this and you know, or which, you know, going back to that story from years ago, that's, you know, that's social bullying, right? And a couple of people know what I'm talking about with that. But I think it is generally kind of an effective thing. I think where we'll see with Ohio, the interesting thing about Ohio should be how long, because right now, because it is still spreading, what is the time it takes for the case count to double? And I think that's the thing that a lot of people are looking at. How fast is it doubling, right? Because if you slow the doubling time, then right, I mean that's the flattening the curve phenomenon, right? You may have just as many cases, but if there are fewer people infected at any given time, then you don't overwhelm the healthcare system. And so if Ohio is able to successfully do that, then I think that's the, you know, then I think you give DeWine some credit for all of his failings about reproductive health, because that guy's record on that is absolutely horrible. But you give him credit for the fact that he did the right thing. My first wife, Stephanie, who some of you know or have met even, she runs the nutrition program at a hospital up in Vermont now. And she said right now what they're doing is, because they're far enough ahead and they're understandably nervous about what's been going on in New York, you know, they've gone already to the point where they have converted significant portions of the hospital to be able to support ICU cases where they ordinarily would not. So there's, you know, things like that. And of course, where people can work remotely, they are. I mean, you know, nutritionists, obviously, or dietitians, rather, they don't have to necessarily be there. They can read a chart from home, because they're not making the food, you know. So there's kind of some, you know, interesting choices that they're making there, I thought. But she says they're taking it pretty seriously. Maybe they just want to protect Bernie. I don't know. He's definitely in that high at risk. He's in that at risk category.
So. Stop. Jesus, Bernie fucking Sanders.
Well, he's still in the race for some reason. Yeah, I don't know why.
Because, well, he's able to just forget about it because of everything else happening.
Everybody's busy.
Yeah.
Oh, did you hear he told off some reporter asking him why he was still in the race, and he said something like, "I don't have time to talk to you about this right now. We've got a fucking disease to take care of." It was something really awesome, but anyway,
he's just wacky.
I know you love Bernie Sanders.
Oh, Bernie Sanders drives me nuts.
I really hope he, when he loses the Democratic nomination, he goes to an independent for one reason, just because of the comments on Gonch's Facebook page.
That sounds like a horrible reason to allow that to happen.
Oh my God, that's great. I posed that question myself. Why does he keep trying to force his way in to the Democratic Party, man? Pull a Perot and just go nuts. And you're already a fucking nutcase. Just be the third
man
party
to make a tender chicken.
Oh, because we've had so many independent candidates as president.
Well, but I mean, if he really thinks he can make a difference, yeah, I know he's trying.
I think to your point, if you really believe you're starting a revolution, then prove it.
Yeah,
you know,
there. Jeff says it better than I do.
Yeah. See, I don't care about any of that. I just like reading the comments on Jeff's or Gonch's Facebook page. Yeah. So if he leaves, those comments leave, then I'll be sad.
Okay. See? Again, when people leave the wide open, everyone, come on over and read through, scroll through the insanity. I'm on Facebook as Lord Gonchar because that's basically my legal name at this point.
It's on your credit card.
I have a credit card that says Lord Gonchar, yes.
How do you sign it?
Can I see some ID, sir?
I mean, when do you actually use a credit card where you have to go, you know, sign anything anymore?
Never.
Exactly. And that's why, like, I mean, I was even getting that question. How the hell do you get a credit card with Lord Gonchar? They don't care. It's a number assigned to me to let me spend money. They don't care what name's on that card.
So have you seen that article about a guy that started signing his credit card like a penis?
No.
Okay, so you should sign your name like a penis.
Okay, I will. On the off chance that I have to sign my name on something, it's not even a signature, just scribble and accept. I mean, that's at this point, isn't signing, especially for credit card purchases, almost just a formality? I don't know.
I don't sign very often for anything.
I mean, it's rare to have to sign that now.
I mean, actually, more often than not, I'm just tapping my phone on it and, you know.
Yeah, well, exactly.
That's how I buy my burritos.
I buy my burritos with my phone. I live in the future.
I do. good times. Well, it's going to be a weird year. That's for damn sure. I don't know what our normal looks like, but if you're Bob Chapek now, because you know Bob Iger, he's still executive chair, but they're thinking about this. There's no question about it. They are trying to figure out what is the most logical, safe way for us to open up the parks. So you know they're doing that. I don't see how I don't see any world where they're not doing that.
No,
I just don't know what that entails. No idea.
I think, like everyone else, you almost have to just wait and see how this plays out. Because if we end up determining that once this passes, we have herd immunity or whatever, then you don't really have to change anything.
Yeah, but the percentage of people who have to have it to achieve that is pretty high.
Yeah, and the way I understand it is flattening the curve isn't necessarily stopping people. It's just exactly spreading out. I mean, a lot of people are going to get sick.
Statistically, most of us, maybe it's not most of it, at least half of us will get it.
I would think at least half. And so then I just kind of wonder if, you know, we get to the other side and whether that's 3 months, 6 months, a year, 18 months, who knows? But I almost feel like once we know we're past it, and watch me be 100% wrong, somebody pull up this podcast a year from now and go, "Goddamn, Gonch, you were completely wrong." That it's almost just like, okay, we're there. We're back to normal. At the very least, once you have a herd immunity or a immunization of some kind, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot, you know, they've flat out said a real vaccine is at least a year away.
Yeah.
But treatments, if you already have it, that are more effective, those could come in, you know, 3 or 4 months. I think that's really what we're looking for.
Yeah.
The idea, I mean, if they can give you a pill and it staves it off, and you don't have to worry, and you don't get to the point where, oh my God, I'm having, you know, it's hard for me to breathe. If you can not get to that point, then that vastly changes the outcomes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Cause I mean, that's how we deal with a lot of other diseases, right? You know, you get to a certain point where it's like, I mean, even if you look at how we treat pneumonia, right? Like we do a chest x-ray and we see, okay, now we know you have this, we can do these four things, or we can put you on a nebulizer and you can breathe these drugs in to help deal with that. And you don't necessarily have to be hospitalized. I mean, my kid's been on a nebulizer twice in his life and he's only 10. So, you know, I get that. It's just, you know, what does it take to get to that point? Because that's the thing, is I will feel a lot more comfortable and I will feel more safe if I know that, hey, if I get this, they can treat me. And I know that the hospital is not going to get overwhelmed. The thing that freaks me out right now is the fact that they've got, you know, refrigeration trailers outside of New York hospitals where they're putting the bodies. Like, that's pretty scary. Like, and we're not even to Italy stage, right? Like, that's a whole other different, like, that's a different universe of, you know, horribleness there. So,
well, I mean, the whole flattening the curve is not necessarily to prevent people from dying. It's the preventing the healthcare system from getting inundated.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, to your point, if you could have medication that prevents that, then for the most part, we're good to go. I mean, like right now, as we speak, they're converting McCormick Place, which is the convention center in Chicago, to house 3,000 beds.
Wow.
As they believe that Detroit, Chicago, San Fran, and Louisiana, New Orleans are probably going to be the next epicenters like New York is.
Yep. Yeah, that's probably true.
And that's what I, like, as we were getting into this, this is what I was telling everybody that was thinking this, oh, this will pass. I'm like, this is a big math problem. I'm like, how do you get this big parabola down to here?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I came to a very similar conclusion. Actually the day before we were supposed to get on a cruise. And by the way, we ended up canceling that, not because I was particularly concerned about the risk of health concerns. I was concerned because the freaking State Department is run by a bunch of morons. I mean, most of the federal government right now is run by acting directors and people who are not experts at anything. You know, why is Betsy fucking DeVos running the Department of Education? She's literally, well, because she can do math, right? Because she knows how to do a pyramid scheme like Amway. That's why. So I should be careful. She throws a lot of weight down here.
Yeah, she's coming for you.
She's got an arena. Anyway. I'm hopelessly frustrated that, like, individuals have had to come to those conclusions and try to figure this stuff out. I think we all have, for the most part. And those of us who are not inclined to engage in that level of critical thinking because we have lives, like, I'm not faulting anyone for that, but we should have a voice at the top that is realistic and says, this is the reality of the situation. This is what the outcomes are based on action or inaction. I don't think that that's asking a lot of the federal government, but we've had to rely on various TV experts to get that. I mean, you know, you've seen, you know, Dr. Fauci, who's not even, not even like the highest ranking person in this, because God forbid Mike Pence is. But, you know, he's going out and doing all the night shows, the night talk shows, which are running from their, you know, various hosts' apartments, you know, by way of video call. So, you know, that's how the word's getting out. And that just doesn't seem like it should be that way. So, so that's super frustrating. But
no, but anyway. I mean, the thing I'm seeing is like you stated with the Ohio governor, the Illinois governor, same way of, you know, you had a lot of people, myself included, that were kind of critical of this person going in, and you're starting to see leadership. So even if you don't value or express the same opinions as they do, you're starting to see, like, just leadership come out. And I think that's one thing that's lacking in our federal government, that, at least in my opinion, like, Mike Pence, if he was the man in charge, he seems like he has more leadership capability than.
Oh, I agree. No, I agree. It's the same thing as the DeWine problem, right? I think DeWine is horrible in terms of his policy positions. But at the end of the day, he knows how to govern and manage a crisis. Like, he's doing the job, right? And I mean, Pence, for all of the things that I don't like about him, I would assume, having been a governor of the state of Indiana, that he would have similar skills and be capable of doing that. and, you know, had 20 senators had the nuts to act, he would be president right now, and maybe this would be less of a shit show. I'm not saying it would be great, but at least we wouldn't get somebody up there and say, oh, I think this drug might be great, or oh, this will go away. Like, that's the last thing that we need, because there are people who are so convinced that that guy and his cult of personality is totally the real thing and legit, and it's just like, he's literally not an expert at anything. I mean, literally nothing. You know,
that thing that the something you just said is probably one of my bigger fears, and that's this whole rushing drugs into the space to try to fix this thing. Like, I that makes me so nervous, knowing the players and the people who are around. It's just like, I could just see them cutting corners on testing and making sure that, you know, I don't know, people don't die from the drug. But yeah, I'm afraid they're going to try to rush a vaccine of some kind into the market, and it'll be even worse.
Yeah, that's the thing, is I don't think people really appreciate the way that drug trials and research works is deliberately not fast, because it can't be.
Exactly.
Like, you have to understand the outcomes really well before you can say, yes, this is effective to do this thing. And by the way, it won't, you know, cause your ears to fall off or something. Yeah, I mean,
exactly.
It's just science. My greatest gripe with humanity, and especially American culture right now, is just the general lack of appreciation for what science is and why it's important. Like, opinions don't matter against science. Science is not a belief system. It is not a religion. It is not something that that you can just wish away and not be true because you don't agree with it. Science doesn't care what you think. or what you believe, I should say. Those two things are not compatible. So yeah, just that it gets my goat or something. I don't know what that expression means, but I think it's used appropriately there.
I think that's a scientific expression.
It gets my goat.
Yeah,
could be.
What is the result? Well, this really gets my goat.
Yeah, but I think, Mike, to your point, I think we've seen leadership in ways that has been somewhat unexpected, and that's good. I just hope we see more of it. Again, I feel good about, like, the way our county mayor and the Orlando mayor. We have county mayors down here, by the way. I don't know why. I don't think anybody else in the country has those, but we do. Yeah, you know, in Ohio, counties have commissioners.
Yeah.
And we have those too, but we have a mayor as well. It's so weird. Because down here, there's the counties, huge portions of the counties are unincorporated. Like, all of them have huge unincorporated areas. So that's what's different about Florida, I guess.
Florida.
Whereas Ohio literally has, well, because of the Western Reserve, there's the whole township system. Did you learn about that? Well, no, that's right. You grew up in PA, right?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so I've
been in Ohio for, well, actually 14 years now, but...
but if you weren't in school, if you didn't go to school in Ohio, you wouldn't know this. So the little history lesson here is when the Western Reserve was created, basically what they did is they basically gridded everything up into little 4x4 or 5x5 mile squares and called them townships. And every township had its own government. And then there was a group of townships that collectively would become a county. Right. And then you had cities which would basically start out of a township and then annex pieces of additional ones to become, you know, full-blown municipalities. So that's why in Ohio you have townships and you have cities. A couple of places are technically a village, I guess. There are some variations on that, but they're, you know, they're municipalities regardless. So that's your Ohio history lesson.
Boys and girls, your school at home starts now.
Yeah, I was always excited that they actually taught us about stuff like that in grade school. See, Cleveland schools in the desegregation days weren't so bad. Yes, they were.
All right. Well, that explains now why I live in the city of Beaver Creek, but there's also Beaver Creek Township, and we're all considered Beaver Creek, but we pay different taxes.
Yes. Yeah. So when I lived in Brunswick, Ohio, Brunswick had a township, and it was weird because the city grew out of the middle of the township, but the pieces that were still township were scattered all over this 5x5 mile square. Jeez. Right. So, which, as you can imagine, is like kind of a pain for like say the the police department, because now the police department have to, oh, you're in that you know, half acre on the other side of town. Yeah, we'll be there eventually.
Jeez.
Oh, your house is burning down. No, that doesn't happen with that. With fire, they have what they call mutual aid calls, where they just, you know, help each other's departments out. But That I know from working in city government in Ohio.
All right.
Good times. Yay, education. Hooray. All right. So I don't know that we can really add anything to that work, to the how do we reopen thing, but.
So when do you think this is, when do you think amusement parks are going to reopen?
I think mathematically it's not going to be the same anywhere in the country, you know, like, I mean, like you could, I think we could make a case for someplace like Holiday World opening sooner than someplace like Cedar Point, even, you know, because of just the major metros and that are closest by. So,
and because of the free soda.
And because of the free soda, right. Yeah, you're damn right. So yeah,
that's
I don't
essential
know.
Essential business.
That's right.
Well, as the cabin fever sits in, I'm sure it's pretty essential.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys because you guys live in colder places, but I mean, I can go out every day. I mean, we had a record high today of 94. What the hell? Ugh. Freaking climate change. Let's pretend that's not real either.
Wow, anyway. You're just all over the soapbox today.
I am all over the soapbox. I'm sorry. I am.
So no, my wife and I did say that quarantining in a warm climate would be so much easier than, so we had snowfall last week.
Oh my gosh, wow.
It didn't last, but it's like you can't go outside.
Psychologically, it's snow.
Yeah.
We had some yesterday.
Wow. Yeah, I had a Facebook
spring snow is not a big deal.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't usually last. Well, so I had a Facebook memory this week from 2013. Again, this was our decision-making thing, right? Where I've got a picture of Diana and my kids sledding down the hill in the backyard, you know, in March, the end of March 2013. And I'm like, no, that's not okay. Well, so it's funny in our neighborhood. So I just for context, I live in a subdivision that is, I think, 315 units. I should know the exact number. I'm just on the board, but we have, but it's fairly cut off. I mean, there's the entrances from the main road, and there will eventually be a street that goes through to another neighborhood. But for now, that's not built until they build the school that's going to go back there. By the way, Mike, you'd love how they do school building down here and how they finance it, but that's different. We can take that offline. But anyway, so it's so weird because, you know, we're no strangers to like taking an evening walk or something after dinner, right? Or going to the mailboxes or something like that, because our mailboxes are all in one place. And, you know, we would see, you know, a couple neighbors here and there. Now, when you go out, I mean, people are keeping their distance, but like half the neighborhood's out at one time. It's crazy. I've never seen so many people walking around and on their bicycles, and it's nuts. And of course, because everyone's trying to keep their distance, some are in the street, some are on the sidewalk, and you know, it's actually challenging to navigate and stay away from people because there's so many people out. So, but yeah, warmer climate makes that super possible, and I'm forever thankful for that. Although we are in desperate need of rain here, we haven't had rain in a couple of weeks.
You can have ours. We have it today. I'll give it to you. But like we have the same thing when the weather's decent, there is people just, you know, all over the place walking their dogs. Like I during this whole thing, I went and got a keg from a local brew, and anybody that wants to stop by and socially distance drink or socially distance fill up a growler is more than welcome. So if you know where I live, come on by.
There's definitely a theme this evening with Mike.
I'm telling you.
Mike, do we have to talk?
Yeah.
Do you have a problem?
Mike, this is your intervention.
Yeah, this isn't really a podcast, Mike.
Safe space. Yes.
We care about you.
It's all fun and games.
Yeah. No, but I have lots and lots of liquor. I totally get it. Although I'm a little concerned because for some reason I didn't think to buy more pineapple juice, and I'm almost out of that. And that's obviously an essential ingredient for a great many tropical drinks. So, because I'm a liquor guy. That's my thing now. Part of it is just I can't drink beer. It just gives me the shits, so I can't drink that anymore. So I'm a liquor guy.
I'm not afraid to say that's too much information.
Yeah, we really drug the podcast to a new level, didn't we?
I'm bringing it back to ignorance is bliss. I don't need to know.
That's cool. It's all right. No problem. Yeah, our high tomorrow is 95. That's set to be a record again. And then finally, we'll get starting Wednesday. We'll get back down into the 80s. No rain until next Saturday, though. So that's kind of a bummer. My grass is I'm trying to water it as much as I can, but it's still pretty brown. Bummer.
My grass is in quarantine.
Yeah. So it's not coming out at all.
Well, hopefully
it's all dead. It's all dead anyway. Do you have anything green? Is anything getting green yet for you?
Up here, yeah, everything's green because we have snow and rain. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What about Southern Ohio?
Everything in my yard's laying in a pile where the storm left it last May.
That's neat.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting there. Obviously, life. What's the Jurassic Park quote? My God, I may have had a stroke this evening. Life finds a way. Jesus.
Nice.
So, you know.
Denver's got a fairly decent evergreen thing going on there, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, just nice.
Love the evergreens.
This
Anybody
podcast.
Else want to talk about their bathroom habits? Does everybody have enough toilet paper? That's the important thing.
We bring you up, and then we just bring you right back down again. Yeah. That's what we do.
We actually do have enough toilet paper, surprisingly, and I hate to be
your wife works
people.
At a hotel.
Well, no, but that's a good idea too. Wait, son of a bitch, why haven't I said that to her? I'm gonna check that out after we're done here. We had actually just done shopping and done like the Costco Sam's Club run where you end up with like the truckload of toilet paper just before this all happened. But literally, it was one night, I can't tell you the day. There was a Wednesday night where we turned around to CNN, and it was the first night where it was kind of like, this is getting real. So I said, let's just run out to the store and grab a few things, and toilet paper was still on the shelf. So I was one of those people who grabbed 3 or 4 packages of toilet paper way back at the very front end of this. So we've been good. But
Did it help you feel like you're in control?
You are so funny. So you went out and got it, and then you posted for weeks about how crazy everybody is.
Yeah. Well, I went out and got it.
I love that. Assholes.
Because, well, yeah, I kind of did when you say it like that. Yeah. I sure didn't feel that way, but now that I'm talking through it, I don't feel so good about myself.
My work here is done.
Well, it's not like I didn't buy a ton, but the point was we had an evening where something just clicked and it was like, this is going to get real. Let's go grab a few things that we don't have around the house. And while we were out, we ended up grabbing a few packages of toilet paper. So whatever.
I didn't buy a ton. I just bought 3 cases.
Well, there you go.
No, I'm in the same spot that I think Jeff's in, is that I have my Amazon subscription set up probably way too close. And so I just naturally have toilet paper and cleaning supplies and all this other crap. So
yeah, we had the same thing. It was just one of those things where it's a subscribe and save, right? And like, you know, you're supposed to check before it ships to see if you really need that stuff, and you know, push it off a month if you don't need it. And we just didn't. So it was like, oh shit, look at all this toilet paper we have now. So toilet paper, and there's something else that we have like way too much of. I don't remember what it was, something else completely unimportant, but oh, it was deodorant.
Yep.
So nice. I mean, yeah, I don't even need to use that. I'm not leaving the house, you know.
Evidently, I go through deodorant like six times less than everybody else.
This is what we learn in a quarantine.
The toilet paper hoarding is an odd phenomenon, though. I mean, that sounds like such a late night Johnny Carson. What about this toilet paper situation? But come on,
Johnny Carson, you're so
it's our place that everybody drew the line.
It's crazy.
I think this is like no different than the Nintendo Wii, where you know people went out and got. Well,
take me there. I need to understand this.
Wipe their ass with that too.
connect that thought.
It got so popular that when people found them in the stores, they got them even if they didn't want to go play video games. They're like, "Ooh, I found one. I got to go get one." Yeah. I think that's how it went. And then you saw how Australia went through this and had a toilet paper shortage. And then we went through it. And then you see these other, like UK just had a toilet paper shortage. All these other ones see like what the country before them did. And then they go replicate it.
Yeah. It's just, that's bizarre though, because there's absolutely no part of this that would say we need to load up on toilet paper.
Well, and the same thing happens. I can't speak for you guys, but when we went into quarantine in Illinois, there was a rush on meats, and so you go to the supermarket, meats were nowhere to be found. Give it a week, all of a sudden the supermarket's back to normal stockage. Yeah. And I see friends of mine who live in other places that are just about to go into quarantine. They say the same thing. I can't find a piece of meat. I'm like, well, give it a week and everything will be back to normal.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Silence. Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to figure out how long I can avoid going to any grocery store for just as long as I can. I mean, we've got Prime Now here, so I can, you know, I can order stuff and get it, you know, within a couple of hours. But they don't always have what you want necessarily. So that's the challenge there. And that's really sucks because my kid only eats like three things, so. Like, he can't just eat Kraft macaroni and cheese. No, it has to be Annie's white cheddar cheese and shells, organic. Like, that's the only flavor of mac and cheese that he'll eat. So if I don't have that, I'm kind of screwed. But we've got him eating at least some chicken now, so that's a plus. But, you know, you can't get grill marks on it because then it's no good. So that's what I'm dealing with.
Great.
No, it's not great.
Well, Prime Now, you haven't had to deal with like things not being available?
No. So I did one. So first of all, they split it. There's two stores, and in order to get, you know, the minimum threshold for free delivery, you have to get $35. But some of the stuff is at Amazon, some of it is Whole Foods. So you have to kind of like look at the, you know, like filter to make sure you're getting from one or the other. Or if you're going to do both, then you may need to have $35 worth of from both. Yeah. So I did it last week. I was not able to get chicken breasts from Whole Foods, and I was not able to get also from Whole Foods. I was trying to get deli turkey. I'm sorry. But on the flip side, I could get ground turkey, so I could make turkey burgers. And I had no problem getting milk, you know, various kinds of boxed, you know, like pasta and stuff like that. None of that stuff was an issue. There was one snack food that they didn't have on the Amazon side. I forget what it was. It was like, you know, like Cheeto puffs or something like that. They're like, oh, why are you out of those?
Yeah.
I have Cheetos puffs.
Well, you're in a better place than I am then.
I wish this were video.
Ordered them the night she watched CNN.
Yeah, I was like, I don't need toilet paper. I'm getting Cheeto Puffs. And I wish I had video because I just sit here and eat them right now.
Just cruel and terrible. Like, I don't.
It's become the strangest fetish site in the world. Carrie eats Cheetos.
Oh, that went dark.
hold up those orange fingers for me, Carrie.
Stop.
Oh, that's wrong. That is so wrong.
That is. See, I'm not close enough to a Whole Foods to have the Prime Now, but you can still do the stupid pantry thing, and nothing would get to me within 2 weeks if I look at anything online.
Well, pantry is weird because pantry had said that it was that was not a thing, but I don't know if that's because we have the Prime Now availability here. So, I don't know what the difference is there. Yeah. And then there's other weird things like, I'm going to start producing or making a radio show for PRX, which is a exchange that public radio stations can pick up stuff. And I'm doing it just for fun. I'm not trying to make a money or be famous. I just kind of miss doing that because I, you know, did that 20 years ago and I'm having a midlife crisis. So anyway, I was doing that. I'm like, man, I need like a DJ controller. So like I got one of those and it came the same day. I didn't need it the same day, but it came the same day.
Yeah.
So it's weird things like that, that, you know, you still at this point can get from Amazon pretty quickly.
Yeah, they're exactly. The odd things are coming, but if you look on there for things you actually need or want, oh, we'll have that by the end of April. And it's just like, what the hell?
Well, Amazon actually, they did say that there are certain things that they are holding off shipping because they are non-essential. So like they gave an example the other night on the story that I saw, like if you needed like a shovel, there was just like a couple really off the wall things. They're like, we're not shipping any of those things until later in April because we need the capacity to ship these other things.
No yo-yos until summer.
I got a, I got a, I got a Frisbee the next day, so yeah, that was fun.
You got an audio controller and a Frisbee. I got a volleyball net. Those are essential. Shovels, not so much.
I guess so. So I can get in the mix and start my show, but I can't, you know, I can't dig anything.
Jeez.
Good times. Whatever. These are strange times, my friends. Strange
times.
True story. All right, we've beaten this to death. But I got to tell you guys, this was really fun to get together again. I'm not pressuring us to do it again necessarily, but you know, let's see what our three adoring fans think of the show, and then we'll revisit whether or not we should do another.
So when my oldest found out that I was doing this tonight, she was so happy because she's like, I want to go to one of those Coaster Buzz events, and since you're doing this, we can do that again.
But
her thought process is, now that I actually ride this stuff and can appreciate it, other than the last time she was at one in Holiday World when she wasn't tall enough to ride anything.
Yeah.
So
she wasn't tall enough that trip? Were you talking about when you guys stayed in one of the cabins?
She was probably tall enough. She was not willingly enough.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember that last event we did there. That was a good time. I miss Holiday World. I haven't been there in years. Simon's big enough to ride everything now too. So
Voyage is a little rough. It has the last cart of the train taken off.
Well, they retrack half the thing every winter, so I mean that's probably temporary.
I mean, I went there this summer. I hadn't been there probably since last time we were all there. So it's odd to see the train shortened.
Yeah, I bet it is.
But I don't know. It's still a fun park. Kids had a lot of fun there. So
yeah, there's another thing that's changed. Paula retired since we last did this. That's so weird.
Oh, congratulations to Paula.
Yeah. She has a really great blog. You should check it out. It's called Too Much Brudders, BRUDDERS.com. Too much. I think that's it. Google it. You'll find it. But she, as you know, is a pretty great writer, and she writes about farm life and culture and things that are interesting to her. It's good stuff. Check it out. Shout out to Paula. Cool, Nate. Okay. I think that's enough. We'll revisit as necessary. But if you want more of these shows, like 14,000 people listened to the last one that Carrie and I did years ago. That URL is podcast.coasterbuzz.com. And of course, on the main site, you can get all the updates there. So check it out. I'm not going to do the copyright or any of that because I don't think any of that really matters. So we won't do that. But in any case, on behalf of the Coaster Buzz podcast crew, thank you for listening to us. And I don't know, maybe we'll see you again someday.
You're supposed to end with wash your hands.
That would have been the appropriate ending.
I'm so disappointed.
No, okay, let's do the podcast over again.
All right, let's start it up.
There we go.